Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rap Sheet. He of NFL Network, NFL.com, the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, which this week will feature Calvin Ridley and Kareem Jackson. Ian Rappaport joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. Ian, how are you?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Well, by the way, yesterday was so awesome. I hope Jude is healthy and back at school. Is he all right?
Yes, the Jude monster is back at school. Fever is down. I assume he'll be signing autographs as he walks in.
I think my favorite part was when he's just handing you the remote, like he needs you to change a channel or something. Yeah. He's like, hey, Dad, this needs to change.
Yeah, I mean, my wife had the talk with him about how you're not allowed to go in Daddy's office, and his response was, well, I needed to know where the pause button was. And I'm like, well, that's fair, actually.
The man needs to know.
Yeah, what's he going to do? Sure. He's got stuff and things he's got to take care of. He doesn't care that you're on live television at that point. It doesn't matter. So the question I have for you is, how healthy is Khalil Mack actually? Being back at full steam in practice is great, but that doesn't mean his explosiveness is actually going to be the Khalil Mack we saw in the Packer game.
No, but I think he's getting there. And, you know, it's funny, like he never misses games. He hates to miss games. And even when I was told last week I knew he wasn't going to play. The week before, I was told he's probably not going to play. And I kind of held off on reporting it like I knew it because he always plays. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to say, hey, this guy who's never missed a game is probably not going to play without literally the player telling you for sure that it's not going to happen. But I do think the Bears did him a service by sitting him out the last two games, because instead of just hobbling his way through and being a shell of himself, he's getting back to being the player that they traded for, which I think is a very, very good thing.
I would imagine the way you hear stuff like this differs when it's a player that's going to make the ultimate call on something like this. Not the call necessarily, you know, game day health is game day health, versus a team deciding this isn't happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you get injury information, and you know, there are some teams that forbid this information from coming out, some teams that don't tell their, you know, coordinators or position coaches who's going to be available until game day, some players don't tell the agents, some agents don't want to tell. I mean, there's a lot of different ways, so you figure out a million different ways at it, but it is hard to say. Especially if it's going to be a pregame workout. I mean, we had a situation last week where I was told Saturday night, Kenny Stills probably not going to play. Just say, you know, not expected to play. I said, fine. Then it comes out that he's definitely not going to play. And literally 5 minutes later, I get a call. Kenny Stills is going to be active. Tweet it. And I was like, okay. And so originally the story was wrong, but then it was right, and then, yeah, anyway. So injury situations are a disaster anyway, but yes.
I've been looking at the Matt Patricia era as it's begun in Detroit, you know, going against the grain a little bit of, rather than the hot young offensive mind, they go with a defensive coach from the Belichick tree. Their special teams are terrible. He's lecturing reporters about their posture. And I'm wondering how you look at this with what we know about other people who have left the Bill Belichick nest and have tried to sort of impersonate him or ape him in a way. We saw the same thing happen with Parcells, too, where it's not about what you know. It's sort of about how you carry yourself and how you impose your coaching will. Is this going to work?
I think it is still. I know some of the bad headlines have been out there, and you know the no slouching thing was not great. Now, I'm someone who, in my past as a beat writer, got into it with plenty different coaches, Nick Saban in particular, but Bill Belichick as well, just about different things in a press conference. I never cared about what a coach said to me from the podium. I mean, people call and yell at me all the time, and I really don't care. It's just an occupational hazard, and I'd rather take the phone call than not, but so I think those headlines were sort of much ado about nothing. The bigger issue is why has Stafford not been quite what he was last year? And are they going to fix the sort of culture issues that Matt Patricia believes he inherited? I think he's going to be successful. I don't think he's going to be one of those coaches that's trying to be Belichick because he's way too smart for that, and he was aware of it going in. That said, the results have not been good. So if they're going to turn it around, you know, if you sort of act like that, the rope gets a little shorter if you're going to turn it around.
So what do we know, or what should be known about Matthew Stafford and his reaction to losing his leading receiver? I mean, Golden Tate's not – I mean, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He's not just a guy.
Yeah. Again, like, I didn't have as much a problem with that as a lot of people did, because to me that was just a business decision. And here are the factors that went into it. One, they tried very hard to sign Golden Tate right before they traded him. I actually thought they were going to do it. He thought they were going to do it. Mm. In the end, there was no deal. And if you know you're not going to re-sign a guy, you know, it's what it is, but you're below 500 midway through, it's not a great sign. They love Kenny Golladay. They want to feature him a little more, and they could get a third-round pick, which, you know, a lot of times can be a starter. Not in 2 years on a compensatory pick, but guaranteed this year a third-rounder. I actually thought it was really good value for the Lions, and yes, short-term, it might not help them. I honestly don't think it hurts them that much, but I think the value was honestly much more than I thought they would get and hard to turn down.
So Dez Bryant goes to the Saints, and today we're learning a little bit more about why, Ian, and that is that Cameron Meredith, the former Bear, remember the Bears
declined. Yeah, I was waiting for this one.
Bears declined to match the contract offer that he got and let him go, and I was told at the time, and I reported at the time, that Bears doctors just did not like the imaging. They didn't like the results of the surgery. They didn't think the knee would hold up, and it was purely that informed Ryan Pace to say, yeah, you know what, this is not going to be good money spent. So Meredith is indeed going to undergo more arthroscopic knee surgery. So this looks like, just on the face of it, really good call by the Bears, was it not?
Yeah, you were right on my understanding of what the doctors thought, that they, you know, love the kid. I think everyone really likes him, thought he had a lot of potential. It was a lot of money for someone coming off a very serious knee injury, and I just don't feel like the doctors felt comfortable. And, you know, that's what you do in that situation. You take all the information, including from the doctors, and you make the best decision that you can. And it's crazy because clearly the Bears made the right call. This was an offseason where I think the Bears did a lot of things right. I mean, you're seeing it on the field, so it's not like, you know, breaking news, but they did a lot of things right. And sometimes you have to make the hard decisions to let your guy go, who you like, who you developed, and signed someone else. And the fact that they signed someone else coming off an ACL is crazy. But again, like, you take the best information you have and make the decision. And it really did turn out to be a very smart move for the Bears.
In kind of a personal question here, how able are you to read any of Le'Veon Bell's tweets without twisting your phone upside down to read the nonsense?
Oh, I turned my computer upside down.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't think of that. I was just rotating the phone in the bed and trying to get the whole lock through. What the hell is he doing?
No, you can't do it with – I mean, the only thing you could do with the phone is you could lock the screen.
Oh, yeah, that's
what I should
have done.
Or take a screenshot. So I went through all this, and somebody, I was like, I'm just going to turn my stupid computer over. I thought it was pretty funny, honestly. Like, look, there's no answer to this nonsense. I mean, there really isn't. Like, he made a decision that he believes is best for him. To me, like, that's okay. I don't agree with it, but it's not my money. You know, it's not. And here's the thing. Like, I think he made the wrong decision. But what if he had gone out week five and suffered a career-ending injury? Then he would have really made the wrong decision by showing up. That's the thing we'll never know. Did he not suffer the, you know, season-ending or whatever injury that he was going to by not showing up? We'll never know. On the face, he gave up about $11 million that he would have made had he signed the Steelers' long-term deal in this past July. And now, you know, they're not going to tag him a third time, so there's really no reason for him to show up unless he just wants to play. I think this may be a wrap. I mean, it's a fascinating situation to watch.
I was looking at some of the odds that Bovada sends out every once in a while just to kind of get a read on at least the way they feel about certain possibilities of certain teams. And one of the things they had on here was who is going to win Coach of the Year, the odds to win NFL Coach of the Year. And I was shocked that Matt Nagy was not even on the board. The Bears are a first-place team in his first year, as Sean McVay is the favorite. Jay Gruden at 25-1. And is that an accurate reflection of the larger opinion of the job Nagy has done to this point?
Yeah, I mean, those odds are pretty stupid anyway. I get those emails. I delete them as quick as possible.
Oh, but I think they're just for entertainment's sake. They're fun. I'm certainly no gambler.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But though, you know, I will say this, like, just personally, they drive me freaking crazy. Because during free agency, they'll be like, here are the odds that this player goes this place. And I'm like, I know that he's not going there.
Right,
like,
you've already been told by the player, no way I'm going there, right?
Yeah. Right. And so I always think those are pretty stupid. Now, I'm sure people think stuff I do is stupid too, but whatever. I'm sure Matt will never get the, not never, but will not get the credit he deserves this year. I think there are probably a lot of people that don't quite believe in the Bears just yet. And part of that is because the quarterback's been up some, down some, you know, kind of all over the place. A lot of really good potential, but sometimes inconsistent performance. And, you know, basically, like, the teams go as the quarterback goes in the eye of the public. So, you know, last year, nobody believed in the Jaguars ever because Bortles was up and down, even though the defense was nasty and ended up taking them to the AFC title game. So I think for the Bears, like, they're probably not going to get the respect they deserve, but they keep winning, then, I mean, who really cares?
Yeah, they are going to be able to do this, and I know coaches love this, but the Bears almost have to apologize for being in first place right now, it seems. And I hate it. I think it's too easy and sort of facile for coaches to do this. But if at any point a coach wants to say, nobody believes in us, or the only people who think we're good are the people inside this locker room, or any of these other of these trite tropes, they come by it honestly this year so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right, and it's, you know, it's not a bad thing because they really, you know, it's funny. Like, I always remember Nick Saban would say, "You've never arrived." The Bears really have not arrived. They may win a playoff game, get to a playoff game this year, have Trubisky have one of those moments, and they'll be good. But otherwise, it seemed, especially in this division where, you know, the biggest story in the division right now is not the Bears. To me, it's what's going on with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and why isn't their offense functioning like it should? And then there's the Lions. They're, you know, kind of a curiosity. I mean, and then the Vikings are just generally good. So those are the main storylines to me. And that's really fine. I don't think the Bears really care, but I do think it's destined to continue like that.
Ian, thanks again. As always, I would urge people to tune in to the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast. Calvin Ridley and Kareem Jackson, the guest this week. And always a follow at Rap Sheet on Twitter.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
That is Ian Rappaport, who is always great with us at 10:40 on Thursdays. Happy to have him
stuff.
As part of the squad.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.